Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Myself and Deborah in the summer, we visited a church which is unfinished, which is still being built. We were in Spain in our summer holidays, and part of our holiday, we went to Barcelona. It was just the week after the terrorist attack which happened at Las Ramblas, and during that week, news reports were coming out about what had been planned. One of the attacks was going to be on the Sagrada Familia, the Church of the Holy Family, and but that was foiled, that never happened. And Deborah and myself, we wanted to go and visit it. Incredible, incredible building. But a building which is yet to be finished. The first stone was laid back in 1882. Now, our church here was built in 1875. And we've been blessed with an incredible building and refurbed it in all that time. They're still building their church. And what happened was the first stone was laid in 1882 and they began that work. But all throughout their journey, there has been much resistance and things that they've had to overcome until their building will be complete, hopefully in 2022. The first architect, he fell out with the promoters of this cause. And then a new architect was installed. His name is Antonio Gaudí. And this man was a visionary and a pioneer. Shortly after this, they received a huge monetary donation, which meant that he could go back to the drawing board and propose a grand design. A design that would include four facades, but also 18 towers as well. Now, along that journey, he had to think outside of the box. He had to resource as much things as he could to be able to fulfill this great task. They had to go to Iraq to get the stone that would be able to hold up the roof and all these towers, the strongest stone in the world. In fact, he was so ahead of his time that at the moment that he designed it, there was not an answer or solution to how this roof would hold up. But he was so confident, not just in his design, but that engineering would progress and they'd be able to build this structure. Sadly, on the 25th of 1925, Gaudí was knocked over by a tram and died. So after that, his fellow architects had to get together and try to ensure that they built what was in his mind and on his heart. Then the Spanish Civil War, revolutionaries burned some of the building, destroyed the workshop with the plans, the original plans that Gaudí had. They had to overcome much resistance. At this point, they're 70% completed. They're believing that they're going to be completely completed in 2022. Unfinished business. Deborah and myself walked around this building and we were in awe of the architecture, the design, of just how amazing it looks. You can maybe see some of the pictures here. They're still in construction there, and you'll see some of the photos of the ceiling and of the windows. Takes your breath away, but they're not finished yet. And all throughout this journey of more than 100 years, they have had to overcome much resistance, much things that of ridicule. You know, one person said to Gaudí about his design, "It looks like melting wax." People sneered at him. People even criticized him, saying that, "Why are you wasting all this time and money?" And Gaudí's response was, "My client is in no hurry." He had a great cause and a great vision, and in 5 years' time, this will be complete. But maybe you're here today, and you find yourself in a place which is unfinished. Maybe you look around your life, and you can see there are areas where you've been on a journey. And it's almost at this point that you've had that thought, do we go on? Do we keep on going? I'm here to bring a word of encouragement and echo what's already been said this morning. God is with you. God is fighting for you. And actually, the resistance in your life could be the reason or the solution for the victory in your life as well. In the book of Nehemiah, we've been considering just some of the challenges that he had to overcome. They completed that wall, the wall of Jerusalem, which had fallen down and been in disrepair in 52 days. And even within that time, Nehemiah and the people had to overcome ridicule. They had to overcome a threat of attack and those that were just giving disdain and causing them to despair. But they encouraged themselves and they kept on going and they completed that wall in 52 days. Turn with me in your Bible, if you've got it there, or it should be on the screen, to chapter 4. We're just going to read a few verses this morning to give us context to our text today. Chapter 4 from verse 1. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. See, not everybody is going to cheer you on. Not everybody is going to be happy with what you're building in your life. No one, not everyone will see the dream the way you see it. No, not everyone's going to value what you're putting so much time and effort in. Not everyone is going to be happy about the step of faith that it may take to fulfill what God has got for your life. Sanballat wasn't pleased. In fact, he says that he ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, those were the enemies of the Jews, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, even a fox climbing up on it would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. The reason that they finished this wall in 52 days is because the favor of God was upon them. But equally, they worked with all their heart. They gave everything. They did not put a half shift in. They worked night and day to ensure that their city, their inner city, was secure. For some of us here today, we may be facing some sort of resistance. Something is coming up against you. There just seems to be an opposition or something that is hindering you making progress. Now, the enemy uses this opposition to try to distract us and discourage us. Our enemy has very limited power. Very limited power. He is defeated. Jesus is victorious. Jesus gives us the victory. But what the enemy tries to do is discourage us. And he tries to distract us so we don't focus on what we should be focusing on. You know, it's the tread on your tire that gives you the ability to stay on the road. There's friction between the tar on the road and the tread on your tire that gives you that resistance between those two compounds that allows you to stay on the road. Have you ever hit black ice? Have you ever hit an oil patch? Your car goes out of control because there's no resistance between the road and your tire. Hey, the good thing about resistance is that it keeps us focused. Yeah. See, for some people here today, you've been asking God to take it away, but God's actually using it to keep you focused. Maybe in your home, you've got a dimmer light in your front room just to set the atmosphere. Maybe you turn it up or turn it down. Now, within that switch, there is a little electronic component called a resistor. And that restricts the amount of current that flows through that system, which determines the brightness of light in that room. Hey, maybe God is just using this resistor to control you, to keep you where you're supposed to be. Lee Morrison does a training program which uses belts and bands, and it's for resistance training. And what you do is you pull against a band, and what that does is that resistance causes your muscle to strengthen. And maybe the resistance you're facing today is to make you stronger. That actually, resistance is okay. Actually, you've been praying for God to remove something that you would not choose. Maybe you find yourself in an uncomfortable situation or season in life, but God can use that. God can use that to keep you on His timetable. God can use it to keep you focused on where you're supposed to be. And God can use that because He is in control of everything in our lives. Nothing is wasted in God's economy. He has got great purpose and plan for us. So in Nehemiah's story, what are some of the resistors that he had to face? What was he coming up against? Well, Pastor Neil told us about the ridicule that they had to go through. Not everybody, as I said earlier, is going to cheer you on. Not everybody is going to be happy for you. In fact, the people here at this time, his enemies, were plotting to attack Jerusalem and stir up trouble against them. But people will not always like us seeing us making progress. Negativity is not a kingdom value. Negativity is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Negativity is our flesh. Negativity will never build a wall. Negativity will pull a wall down. And I really sensed that this week as I was preparing, that we've got to be so intentional that we do not inadvertently discourage people in our negativity. But also, one of the strongest weapons that as believers and household of faith encouragers is not discouragement, but silence, lack of encouragement. I thought that was very interesting what Neil shared this morning about Josie wanting that label so that someone would talk to her. And I would encourage you today, encouragement, to encourage someone who does anything, anything at all. Maybe it's someone who was on tea or ushering or kids or anything. Build them up and just say thank you. Thank you for what you've done today. And it may not seem a grandiose or great thing, but that could build up someone's life. Maybe that is the word of positivity, the word of encouragement that they've been waiting for today. In fact, you might be here and you feel unappreciated. You feel that you're overlooked and unnoticed. We appreciate you. I appreciate you. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you that you are like one of those men in this passage that worked night and day with their hands, picked up stones, put things in place, organized things so that that wall would be rebuilt. Thank you for everyone who serves in this church and gives up your time, gives up time that could be spent on just pleasing yourself and doing things whatever meets your own need. But you've got a heart for others. You've got a heart for our community. Thank you. We appreciate you. But negativity is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The enemy, though, will use that, will use negativity to belittle what you've done so far and cause you to forget about what's ahead, cause you to forget about the end goal. Don't allow that to halt your progress. There's an interesting verse later on in this chapter, in chapter 4, verse 10. It says, the strength of the laborers is giving out. And there is so much rubble, we cannot rebuild the wall. It wasn't only ridicule that was the resistance against their great task, but the rubble. Do you ever feel like this? Do you ever look around your life and all you can see is rubble? Maybe you're here today and that's how you view your life. Broken. Everything is falling apart. Nothing seems to be going right. Actually, you just feel like you're a pile of rubble. Or maybe you're here today and there's something, there's a situation, there's an aspect in your life and it's broken. It's just that one thing that we just see, can't seem to make progress there. For some, it could be a broken relationship. It could be a sense of lack in some area of your life. For some, it could be a health issue that just, there seems to be no outcome. There seems to be no resolution. You know, sometimes the rubble in our lives can overwhelm us. That we almost feel buried beneath that pile of rubble. But I want to bring encouragement today. Because in this pile of rubble was the very stones that would build this wall. I wonder, how do you look at the rubble in your life? Do you just see the disappointment? Do you just see that which just seems to be so missing? Or do you see the potential? Do you see those blocks, those stones that could be lifted up and could build this wall, could restore your life? I believe there may be someone here today and you need to hear this. Your life's message will come from the mess in your life. The rubble that you're experiencing right now will be such a blessing, not just to you, but to other people as well. How do you view the rubble in your life? I believe God can take the rubble and use it for your good, but also for his glory. How do we respond to this resistance, to this rubble, to these ridicule in our life? What do we do? Well, the enemy would want us to give up. The enemy would want us to just forget about it. It's too hard. It's too difficult. You know, the road to your destiny is not the path of least resistance. It's not the easy road. If you want to fulfill everything that God has called for you, to use a phrase that's already been used today, that you won't live beneath what God has purposed for you, then you're going to have to walk on that road which will have some resistance to keep you focused, to keep you in control, and to keep you in God's timetable, and to build you up for what lies ahead of you. You're going to have to go on this road to resistance. But how you respond to the resistance in your life will determine whether you reach your destination, your destiny, or whether you'll choose to walk on the road of least resistance. For some of us here, we need to get on that road again. We've been playing it far too safe. We've settled for the life of comfort. Everything now in our culture and in our world is, how can we make life easier? As we advance, as we move forward, we're thinking of ways that how can we make life easier? But that's not in the economy of God. God will take that which is so hard, which is so difficult, which is so painful, and he can use that for his glory. Maybe you find yourself in a situation like that right now, and you actually think that God has forgotten about you, that God is actually not interested in you. Can I tell you, he is right there with you right now. And he's not only going to be with you today, he's going to be with you in your future. He has got great things in store for you. He has got a destiny for every single person in this room. And I encourage you to walk on the road, not of least resistance, but to deal with it and respond to it properly. Nehemiah displays a different tactic for all the four different attacks that happen in this chapter. But here's just some common things. I love what Paul, though, says in 2 Corinthians. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. When we go through resistance, there's always that temptation to get even, to get better, to get bitter. All these temptations that we have to resist. But actually, we have been given weapons. We have been given an armor to protect ourselves with, to defend ourselves against these resistors, but we've also been given weapons to defend ourselves. The first thing we see here early in the chapter is that Nehemiah prays. And it's an interesting prayer because it looks like he's asking for revenge. It looks like he's asking for God to take vengeance on the people. But actually what he's doing is asking for God to be just, for God's justice to happen in that situation. But first response is to pray. Come on, let's be honest. Is there anyone here today that every time you face something of a challenge, your first response is to pray? If we're being truthful, we probably go through all the other fleshly things first. And then we go, maybe I should pray about this. Nehemiah first goes to prayer. He calls on God and he asks God's justice to happen in this situation. Resistance should make us pray. And Jesus said in Matthew 5 to pray for those who persecute you. He didn't say pray that they would stop persecuting you. He said to pray for those who are persecuting you. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane before Judas will come to betray him. He comes with Roman soldiers to come and capture him and arrest him. Jesus is not praying, confuse those soldiers or change the heart of Judas. He prays, not my will, but your will be done. Resistance should make us pray. Resistance should cause our focus to go away from that which we're up against, but move to the one who is with us, the one who is fighting for us, the one who is greater, the one who is all authority. His name is Jesus. Prayer, though, shows that we are partnering with God. I love how the people here, those who were working on the wall, did all they could do, but they partnered with God. As I said earlier, it was the favor of God upon them, and it was them working with all their hearts which brought the success to their task. Franklin Graham says this, prayer is the most powerful resource we have in this life. It unleashes the spiritual dynamite that obliterates darkness and despair. You have got one of the most powerful weapons at your disposal. Something that no other person in this world has who is not in the kingdom of God. You have the ability to speak to the creator of the universe. He hears you. He listens to you. If it's a concern to you, it's a concern to him. You can access all the authority and power in the name of Jesus. I wonder today, if we were to, rather than moan, rather than complain, rather than give justification to why we behave in such a fleshly way and say, I'm going to pray about this. Have you counted God into the situation? Have you brought him into the circumstance that you're in at this moment? Prayer is probably the most powerful weapon that we have. You can pray any time of the day. You can pray the first thing you do when you get up. You can pray on your way to work. You can pray in between classes. You can pray before you go to your bed. You can pray before lunch. You can pray whenever you want to. Whenever you want to. My encouragement to you today is cultivate a prayer life. Now, it's great when we come together to pray. I think that's brilliant. But there's power when you spend time alone with God. Jesus said, hey, when you pray, close the door. Just you and God. Just you accessing the power of heaven in your life. I want to bring an encouragement to you today that maybe you are going through this situation. Come on, spend some time. Really press in. Be honest. Keep it simple. And keep it going. I was so blessed by that Franciscan monk in Alpha week 3 or 4. And I'll be honest, I thought he was going to come and tell us this elaborate thing about prayer. And all he said was, keep it simple, keep it honest, and keep it going. Prayer is such a powerful weapon. And I would encourage you, if you can share that prayer request, share it with your partner, share it with a friend, come in agreement with each other. And really believe that God is going to turn that situation around. But one thing's for sure, he will use it for your good. He will use it for your good. He'll bring strength. He'll bring control and focus into your situation. Secondly, we see that they protect and prepare. Nehemiah posts an armed guard at the most vulnerable points around the wall. He took some time to review the situation and realized their vulnerabilities and took time to position guards at the most vulnerable places. They protected not their work, only their work. They protected the people, but they protected their weaknesses. And I would encourage you, protect your weaknesses. In fact, the workers were armed. Some were armed with a weapon in their one hand, and they carried materials with the other hand. Others had a sword at their side. Some were just posted on guard. But the workers were armed. Now, we are armed with weapons. Not the kind of weapons this world uses for warfare. We're not talking knives, guns, those kind of things. We've got even more powerful weapons. In fact, on Tuesday night, we looked at the How I Can Resist Evil at Alpha Course. And the kids had a great time up here. I think we've got a photo from the armor of God. Daniel Cox there, our soldier for Jesus. Armed there. He'd be in the tribe of Judah. He'd be there. He'd be one of the first one out praising, singing his praises. But Paul has this image that he gives to the church in Ephesians so that they could understand what they already have. He gives them this image to tell them that they would know, because they would have known what a Roman guard would look like. And he tells them, this is what you already have. It's yours. You've got it already. But he encourages them to put it on. To put it on. That doesn't mean in the morning you put on a suit like that. But it means that you take time to realize what's already yours. The truth of God has been revealed to you. The righteousness of Christ is yours. That moment when you confess, like Kai did on Sunday night, Jesus Christ is your Lord, his righteousness comes into your life. The peace of God is yours. The faith in God's power is yours. The salvation of your soul is yours. You can pray. You have the word of God. All of this is for your protection. And Paul encourages the people here in Ephesians to put it on. And then after you have put it on, stand. You've done all you can do. Notice that it tells us to stand against. We're not attacking, we're defending ourselves. I think it's interesting that it says that we defend, we stand, we don't progress. Because we don't attack our enemy. We've got someone who's attacking for us. Whilst crusading against the Moors in Granada, in Spain, in 1330, James Douglas, who was one of the closest friends to Robert the Bruce, was involved in this battle. And prior to the death of Robert the Bruce, one of his dying requests to James was, "When I die, take my heart, embalm it, and take it with you into battle." And as they're advancing against the Moors, they think they're making great progress, and they thought that the Spanish people were behind them, the army was behind them to help them, but they progressed too fast, and they quickly became aware that they were in a situation that there was only one outcome here, surrounded in all sides. James opens up the silver box around his neck, he takes the heart, and he throws it further into the battle. And he made this proclamation, "Fight for the heart of your king. Fight for the heart of your king." And they kept on fighting. They kept on fighting. But the wounds became too much and they were defeated that day. What a great proclamation. Fight for the heart of your king. And Nehemiah brings an even greater declaration, a greater proclamation. Our God is fighting for us. Our God is fighting for us. Our God is fighting for us. Church, do you realize today that you are not alone? Do you realize today that although you feel like tired because you've been going through this pile of rubble and trying to salvage a stone that you can place in that wall, although you feel like you're at your wit's end with that child that just doesn't seem to be getting the message, maybe you're here and you're still waiting for that guy to text back. Maybe you're here today and you're waiting for that phone call from a doctor and you're not sure if that's going to be good or bad news. You are not alone today. God is fighting for us. And I want to bring an encouragement to everyone here today. You're not fighting alone. He's given us what we need. We've got the amazing gift, weapon of prayer. We can protect ourselves. We can put on the armor of God. We can look for our weaknesses and make sure we've got ourselves covered so that we're not going to be open to the attack of the enemy. But there is one who is attacking the enemy for us. Someone who is victorious. Someone who won the victory when he rose from the dead on the third day. The enemy thought that he'd won on the Saturday. The enemy thought that he had him. But Jesus rose from the dead on the third. On the Sunday morning when he rose from the dead, he brought victory to us. He defeats the power of hell. Satan is defeated in that moment. He has no real power over our lives. God is fighting for you. I wonder, is there anyone here today and you need God to fight for you? Is there anybody facing anything? Anybody, can you relate to the rubble? Or everything just seems to be broken? Everything just seems to be falling apart? Or maybe you relate to the resistance that you're coming up against. People are maybe ridiculing you. They're not talking you up, they're talking you down. Or maybe you're here today and you've just got that overwhelming sense of helplessness. God is fighting for you. God is with you. He will never forsake you. Let's close our eyes this morning. Just as a praise and worship team come and help us today. God has spoken so clearly today in various ways. I wonder you're here today and you would relate to what we've spoken about this morning. Just as every eye is closed and head is bowed, I want to include you in prayer today. If you're facing some rubble, some resistance, some challenge today, then we're going to take action with this weapon that we have, prayer. If that's you, can you just raise your hand and I will join you in prayer. Thank you. Come on, just raise your hand if you're facing something today. Could be a health issue, could be a family issue, could be something in your workplace. You just recognize that there's opposition. Maybe you can really relate to the rubble, the brokenness. Father, I come in agreement with everyone here today who has raised their hand in faith. And Lord, there may be others who, in their hearts, they're crying out to you right now. But I thank you that you are fighting for us. Whatever it is that they are going through, whatever pain or challenge or heartache, Lord, I stand with them today. And I ask, Lord, that you will bring that breakthrough. You will bring that victory in their life. Father, I speak encouragement to them today. Lord, I echo that which has been shared already this morning. That everyone here is fearfully and wonderfully made. That everyone here is loved by God and he cares for every one of us. So, Father, I pray that you will bring encouragement within their spirit today. That, Lord, as maybe as those laborers felt weary because of the rubble, today I pray for fresh strength to infuse them today. Maybe you're here and your life is broken. You just realize that there's something missing in my life. There's a void. We've tried so much. I've been on this journey for so long, but there's a longing not been fulfilled yet. There's a sense of lack. There's just something, there's no satisfaction. Maybe you're here today and you've possibly here and never seen anything like this before, new experience, but you know that there's something that I am missing today. I want to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? I want to ask you today if Jesus is in your life. Have you ever made a decision to make Jesus your Lord? I wonder if you're here today and you relate to what we've spoken about, but I want to encourage you. Jesus is the one who will come beside, come within, and help you, and will bring the restoration that you need. So I wonder if you're here today and you say, yeah, Daniel, I can relate to that. That's me. I need Jesus in my life. I need to reconnect with him. If that's you, can you just raise your hand, and I'll see it, and I'll lead us all in a prayer, and we'll pray it together today. I'm looking throughout this room, and our balcony as well. If that's you, just raise your hand right now. Father, I thank you. Thank you for the power that you have to transform our lives. Thank you for the power to sustain everything that we are going through. Lord, I pray for each of us here today that we will see the potential in our rubble, that we will see the stones that will rebuild our lives, that we will have the strength to endure the resistance because you are with us and you go before us and you are fighting for us.